is 4BC. Your calls, your city, your station.
On Brisbane's own.
116-4BC. Now, Ian Maurice.
Good to have your company on this Saturday morning. And it's still looking pretty nice outside. I hope it is where you are as well. 7 past 11 is the time. Who Killed Creativity is the title of a book written by husband and wife Andrew and Jai Grant. And when you think of creativity, I guess there are many areas of life that need it, and not the least the business world. And the business world really should be thriving on creative ways of doing their business, I would have thought. But Andrew and Jai believe Australia is facing an unprecedented creativity crisis. Andrew is on the line to explain some more. G'day, Andrew. How are you?
Not too bad, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, pretty well, thanks. Firstly, if we are going through a creativity crisis, what is the effect?
Well, I think the effect is that the average person may just decide to go to work and just do his job, not necessarily go that extra mile, not necessarily want to think about looking for solutions in different places. I know it's a very overused term of creative thinking is thinking outside the box, but most people just want to go and work in their normal parameters. If they come up with a great idea or if they think of a better way to do it, unfortunately, somewhere along the line, it might get shut down by someone above them.
Yeah.
If that happens too many times to people, they're not going to really want to keep wanting to try.
Is this because of a lack of IQ or what?
No, I think what the research is showing is actually, although IQ is a controversial test, every generation up we get smarter and smarter as IQ. But unfortunately, since the mid-90s, what has been shown in the Western world is the CQ, which is the equivalent, the creative quotient, has actually been dropping or stagnating.
Mm.
And so something's happened around the mid-90s that's stopped the average person. Now, obviously, in the IT industry, Google and Apple, you know, we constantly see how creative they are, but they are just a small section of maybe what's happening on a larger scale.
If in the business world, if we are suffering from a lack of creativity, are CEOs to blame for it?
Well, that's an interesting point. You see, we've in the book, we've got a whole lot of different places and murder weapons and murder suspects, and we've also got a game, a bit like a Cluedo game or a CSI game, where we ask participants, which is a lot less sterile than a book. We actually ask participants to name where they think creativity was killed, with what weapon, and who killed it, and the location. And unfortunately, and maybe it's just a matter of passing the buck, but people tend to like to say that it happens above them. Maybe that's just an excuse for them to say, again, it's not my responsibility, it's the next level up.
Mm.
Although the research does tend to show that if the CEO or the senior executives are not supportive of the creative process, then anyone that has a creative idea will get shut down. Eventually, the culture of creativity will not exist within the company.
Yeah, look, I'm sticking to business here for a moment. The corporate world, is it
sure.
Sort of a matter of saying, well, this is the way we've always done it, and that's the way we'll continue to do it? Is that the sort of thinking?
Well, if that's the culture, again, in the book we've got 21 different murder suspects divided into 7 groups, and one of the 7 groups is apathy. And I was just working with a bank last week, and they believe that apathy was the big killer. So each time we do it, you know, different companies say, well, this is it, which is a very profound thing for the senior people watching the game being played. And they all believed apathy. Now, they were quick to point out that they weren't lazy, but they just felt there was a culture of apathy within the company, because every time they tried something, someone would say, we've already done it, don't waste your time.
Mm.
Now, that might be in one company. In another company, it might be something else. It might be pessimism. It might be narrow-mindedness. It might be control. It might be the fear of failure.
Creativity is in every walk of life, of course, or lack of it. And you know, I'm involved in the performing arts, and I can tell you that in musical theatre, we are nowhere near as creative as we once were. In fact, we recycle things all the time. There are not a lot of new musicals being written. Instead, we have what we call jukebox musicals, that is a collection of pop songs and then loosely weave a thread around it. And the audience seems to like that.
Well, again, if we're creating a culture like that, that's what tends to happen. That would be if we're looking at some of the suspects, and we've been working with a neuroscientist and a psychologist to try and see whether this is real research or just our natural instinct, and we've been done with about 10, 15,000 people over the years. But if the culture likes it, and if people are afraid of trying new things, because to be creative, you've got to have a fear of failure. You've got to overcome your fear of failure. You've got to be able to, you know, try things, and there will be times when you're creative, you'll try things, they won't work. What's happening in a culture where people are afraid of that fear is they will revert back to what they feel comfortable with, and it will almost create, and that's maybe the narrow-mindedness. As we've got these characters in the book and in the game, we've got maybe fear will, in that case, join up with narrow-mindedness, and between the two of them, they'll manage to attack our creativity.
So when does creativity start?
Well, I think it starts at a young age. I think this is the irony of it. I mean, our kids tend to be more creative than us. There's plenty of research that shows that children are creative, and as we go through that school system, because we get rewarded for being correct, we tend to respond to the incentives of being correct. We get a correct answer, we move on to the next one, whereas creativity is about exploring different paths. If we hop off the corporate for a minute and look at the way we shuffle our kids from one activity to another, from 6 in the morning till midnight, and don't allow them any free play, we're not allowing them to explore and look for different ways of doing things. We told them this is the correct answer, now move on to the next thing. Mm. We're producing very intelligent kids, but we're not producing creative kids. When they then move into the workplace, they also get rewarded for being correct. Very few companies will reward people for being creative, so people don't want to try. So I believe we are naturally creative people. I don't believe anyone deliberately wakes up and says, I don't want to be creative today, but unfortunately these creative killers come in. And we had been teaching creative seminars for many, many years and teaching people how to be creative. But why we had to end up coming up with this book is people kept coming back with excuses. Yes, but, yes, but, yes, but. Mm. And we thought, well, unless we can address the things that are actually blocking people being creative, these people that want to be creative, unless we can address these, there's no point in, you know, they can read a million books on creativity. But if there's things taking place in their life, in their environment, in their culture around them that are blocking the creativity, we can't move forward.
Interesting. Just continuing your line about learning at an early age, when you start at school, the tiny tots get marks on creating short stories. The more creative you are, the higher the mark you get. And yet when you reach, say, at university standard, you're marked on how you string together the thoughts that's already been written by somebody else.
Well, that's exactly it. I mean, unfortunately, again, we go where we're being rewarded. If we're just regurgitating material, that's not being creative. Now, we made a little YouTube video that's gone a bit viral. It's viral. It's called Hands Up. And we went into a school and we asked kids from kindergarten all the way through to year 12 who thinks they're creative. Well, in kindergarten, every single kid was busting to put their hand up. Mm. By the time we got to year 12, one brave soul put his hand up. We weren't satisfied with that, so we went back and asked the teachers, what happened? They started in kindergarten creative. By the time they finished the process, the whole education process, they'd lost it. And again, the teachers were saying, well, unfortunately, the system is rewarding them for being correct. So this is unfortunately what happens. That's where we're incentivized. As a result, the creativity is lost. But that might have been fine when we were producing predictable managers for predictable times. But now companies are, in a sense, creativity is a killer because companies are dying. If they don't embrace creativity, look what's happening to the publishing industry, look what's happening to the musical industry. If we can't keep up with that disruptive innovation and that curve, if we can't embrace creative thinking and look for better solutions faster, we will be left behind. So when we started teaching creativity seminars many, many years ago, it was almost like a luxury, you know, they'd done their presentation skills and their sales skills and their negotiation skills, and oh, what can we do this year? Let's do creativity. Now we've got companies coming to us saying, we realize we will not survive unless we can get every single person in the organization thinking creatively and looking for solutions better and faster and quicker.
I suppose, you know, when you think about it, it's got to start at a senior government level too, hasn't it? I mean, if governments continue to do things the way they always have, there's nothing creative in that.
Well, that's the problem. And I suppose our challenge is when we're working with seminar groups or when people are reading the book, that you know, we can only work within our circle of influence. So I've had one company say, well, we can't do anything unless headquarters approves of it. Mm. And I'm saying, well, that's nice. So, you know, what can we do within our power? Yes, of course, we'd love to see that the governments would deal with it, that people would address it, that CEOs would deal with it. But the reality is, you know, I'd like to hope that we can look at what are the things in our own life that's been killed by creativity. Are we struck by fear? Is stress, you know, waking us up at 2 o'clock in the morning and knocking on us and saying, hey, I'm still here. You know, you tried to leave me back in the office, but I'm come home with you. is pressure pounding down on us, the time constraints that are stopping us being creative? Yes, it would be great to have this at a higher systemic level, but the reality is perhaps we need to look in our own lives at what are the things that are blocking our creativity. And if once we can identify them, and you know that typical comment in the workplace, as you said, oh, we've done this before, it didn't work. Well, I see that as apathy sitting in the boardroom saying, you know, knocking on people saying, hey, you know, let's infect people with apathy. But once you recognize that apathy is a creative killer and you hear that comment, we've done this before, it didn't work, now you're halfway there because you're educated. You can recognize that that is a comment that will shut down creativity in someone's life or in your own life. And that's why we wrote the book. We thought, you know, there's been plenty of books written on creative thinking and innovation, but no one's actually addressing the real issue, and that's what's blocking people from being creative.
Creativity can only come from an open mind, and if the mind is closed, you've got no creativity.
Exactly. So people want to be creative, but they're not sure, you know, as I said, I don't believe anyone deliberately goes to work today and says, I'm not going to be creative or I'm not going to look for a better solution. I mean, at the end of the day, if we find a better solution to a problem, if we can prove a process by 100%, we're all better off. So I don't believe anyone deliberately goes to work and says, I'm going to be bureaucratic for bureaucracy's sake. I just think these, as I said, we've turned them into characters to make it fun. We didn't want to write another boring book on creativity. We wanted to write a book that actually stretched your mind itself. So we've taken these characters, we've taken these issues from a neuroscientific and psychological perspective and turned them into Pluto-style characters. So people can start to identify, oh, that's apathy speaking. You know, I'm going to get him out. That's stress speaking to me. That's going to shut down my creative thinking. I mean, one example is it takes about 25 minutes to get into a flow state, you know, where you're in that state where you actually love what you do. Mm. If you're checking your emails every 24 minutes and 59 seconds, that flow state is constantly being interrupted. I ask people how many people have checked their emails before breakfast, 90% of the hands go up. Mm. How many people have checked emails before they got out of bed? 80% of hands go up. Well, that kills that creative. That creative killer of stress and pressure has already got in there and infected them before they've even had a chance to be creative.
Yeah, very true. Very true. The book is called Who Killed Creativity? Where can people get it?
Well, they can get it from most of the major bookshops in Australia. It's just being released worldwide. If the bookshop's not carrying them, they can definitely get it online. It's published by Wiley. Amazon sell it. iBook sell it. I would imagine just pop into a Google search and look for Who Killed Creativity, or go down to the local bookshop. The AIM bookshop, the business bookshop in Sydney and Melbourne, are definitely very supportive of it because they see the value of it. Mm-hmm. And I would hope that people would support it because it's an Australian book. There's also an AIM bookshop in Brisbane as well, which is the Australian Institute of Management. But there's plenty of Australian stories, plenty of stories from this side of the world rather than the other side of the world. And I hope that people can relate to it and enjoy it.
Been very nice to talk to you, Andrew. Thank you for your time.
Much pleasure. Thanks very much.
Andrew Grant, the book is called Who Killed Creativity?